Yeah.
The next case on for oral argument this morning is State of Minnesota versus Hall and Midwest Bonding.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, William Earhart on behalf of Midwest Bonding.
Thank you. Counsel, you will have 15 minutes for your argument. We received notice we will not have any other argument today, so you will not have an opportunity for rebuttal unless you think there's a good argument to be made against the argument that you're going to be making. No? All right, then we'll just have a 15-minute argument from you. Whenever you're ready to proceed, state your name and commence your argument.
All right. William Earhart on behalf of Midwest Bond on the surety bond that was denied. Essentially, the courts in Shefsky, which I have cited, have the four factors as the main issues relating to reinstatement and discharge of a bond. And two cases that I have cited and relied upon are very strong and supportive of the decision that I'm requesting, and that is that this bond should be reinstated and discharged.
Well, neither of those cases involved, I think, at least what I would suggest is a possible hurdle, which is this 180-day deadline that the rule imposes. We have, I think, the closest to that is one of those cases. I think the most recent one was 177 days. But this one is, it seems to be, falls under the rule, 702 paragraph F, which the Supreme Court described as an additional restriction on the district court's authority to forgive a bond. Can you address that, please?
Sure. Essentially is that the statute is broader than the restriction as placed in the court rules. And if you look at all the case laws, you want to encourage these sureties to go out and find these defendants and bring them back. In Anoka County, based upon the stipulation, we've been incentivized, and I've been doing this for almost 20 years. If you find the defendant in some reasonable period of time, whether it's 180 days or not, you get the matter reinstated and discharged with usually a 10% penalty. In the beginning of 23, the judges appeared in district court in Anoka County to change the policy and said that if after 180 days you don't get them back, you're out regardless of the merits of the case. And I'm asking this court, based upon the decisions that I've cited and the Shefsky factors, that...
But none of those cases involve this, the 180-day rule. It seems like, I mean, you make the argument that there's the additional rule that allows the district court to get around the general rule of court and make an exception for it. But that requires a manifest injustice. So I'm trying to get a... I was reading through the statement of the record, which I guess is what we're limited to. The statement of the record does not include the reference that you make in your brief, which is that this is sort of done all the time beyond the 180 days. This is sort of the practice. That's not included in the record that we have. Is there anything in the record that we have that would say that the district court acts in a manner that is manifestly unjust by not applying the 180-day restriction? It seems like that's the hurdle you get to before you get to the Shefsky balancing test. And if I'm wrong about that, if you think I'm wrong about that, I'm sure feel free to correct me.
Yeah. Well, I guess it, and I'd have to say that it kind of speaks for itself.
What does?
That it's manifestly unjust if you go out and been relying on what the county's done for over 10 years.
That's the part I'm not sure about. I mean, I understand that you're making that representation here, and I think it's in your brief. Aren't we limited to what's in the record? And the parties had an opportunity to include that in the record, and I don't see that in the record. Correct me if I'm overlooking it.
Well, the only thing is there was a stipulation in this file signed by the county attorney.
Right. Is that in the stipulation? I didn't see that part in the stipulation, the idea that this is a practice that goes on. Did I overlook that?
I don't think you did. On the other hand, I think it's implicit in the agreement that was signed. I mean, this was generally routine when you had a defendant that came in and, or the bond company got the defendant, whether it was 180 days or not, they would routinely allow the extension. And this was a stipulation that was consistent with the prior decisions made by the county attorney's office. They wouldn't have done this lightly if that hadn't been the practice. I mean,
if that had been a practice, I mean, I don't know that that prevails. If it had been a practice, maybe that supports a manifest injustice in not accepting the rule, but maybe it doesn't. I'm not sure. The problem I'm having, and I'm not speaking for the panel, I'm just speaking for myself, is that that premise is not in the record. It's asserted by you in the briefing.
Right.
But I'm not, whether it's gone on for 10 years or it happens all the time or if it happens only occasionally, I don't know that, and it's not here in the record before us. But I may be overlooking, if there's something in the stipulation that goes closer to that point and I'm missing it, please.
Well, let me add this, is that I did write the brief. I gave a copy to the county attorney's office. They have not responded and denied it or any way challenged it. So if that's the case, why is it a big contest here?
I'm not saying it's a big contest. I'm just saying it would be helpful for us if it's in the record, a representation that's made that you're asking us to rely upon in order to reach a conclusion that I think we would have to reach, which is that the district court acted in a way that abused its discretion for failing to recognize and apply an exception based upon a manifest injustice.
Well, again, I just reiterate, I sent this brief to the county attorney. They haven't responded or denied or any way objected to the facts that I had presented. And I think in the situation, you can rely on me because it's not contested that's the way it was done. And I'm representing to the court. I've been doing this for probably close to 20 years in Anoka County. And that's the way it was done.
Counsel, let me ask you, if we have a new judge who is ruling on this, and that judge is not aware of this practice that has gone on for however long it's gone on, is that judge bound by that practice, or can the judge follow the 180-day rule that's in the rules?
Well, I think under that hypothetical, if they were unaware of it, and under these circumstances where we bought a stipulation, and then the factors that you want to encourage bond companies to go out and find these people, even if it's after 180 days. I mean, doing this for 20 years, there's many times that defendants have picked up, or the bonding companies have picked them up after 180 days and been reinstated and discharged. And in this case, they did everything. You're sending a terrible message, in my opinion, to the bonding companies if you're going to have a rigid rule that says after 180 days, you can't reinstate and forfeit the bond, even if it's been done many times.
Was there an argument made in the district court that applying the 180-day rule, that not accepting the 180-day rule, accepting with an EX, not an ACC, accepting the 180-day rule would be a manifest, failing to do that would be a manifest injustice?
Well, it had a tortured procedural. I mean, if you take a look, Anoka County doesn't do it right in the first place because they don't bring it back in front of the judge that originally issued the bond.
And that's a requirement under the rule, too.
Right, but Anoka County doesn't do that. You bring in, send in the petition to the court, and they assign whoever judge they is on the matter for that particular hearing. So you don't get the same judge. So,
Mr. Earhart, can I just interrupt you a moment? I'm looking at these the sequence of petitions. Am I correct that there was no hearing along the way? You submit your petition and affidavit, and then the district court responds without a hearing?
The stipulation was submitted, and there was no hearing.
Had there been a preceding hearing ever?
In front of, there had been several extensions. If you're talking about the last one.
Well, no, I'm talking about a hearing. I understand there were extensions.
There was no hearing in front of Christian Larson, Judge Christian Larson.
Okay. Thank you.
Was there a hearing before any of the other judges in the sequence of extensions?
Yes, all of them.
Just not the last one after the, who made
right.
The
when the judge rule. Said, well, this should be, you know, in effect, going back to the rule, well, it actually should have went back to a different judge who set the bond, but.
And she was right about that under the rule.
Right, but it was the wrong judge. She said that Christian Larson is the one that denied it. And then when we picked him up, then she said, well, it should go back to Judge Christian Larson. But in fact, if you take a look at the statute, it actually should have went back to the judge that actually forfeited the bond in the first place.
Judge Street?
Right. So, I mean, again, I've been doing this for 20 years in Anoka County, and they don't do it right, but that's the way it is. And I'm just asking, and again, we're not being opposed. I put in the record that this is the way it's been handled. And there was obviously issues with the court on how this was ultimately handled. And again, I'm unopposed here. The county attorney is not objecting to a reinstatement. In fact, they stipulated to it. They want it because they have a good reputation with our bonding company. They want this policy in effect. Get these people back. Why would you not do it? I mean, to have 180 days and boom, you're out, that's, in my opinion, bad policy.
Well, it may be bad policy, but you don't dispute that that is the rule.
Well, under the statute, it gives more discretion. The rule is that way, but the statute gives you more discretion.
Well, the statute gives broad discretion, but then the rule, the way the Supreme Court described it, I think is, I forgot exactly the words, but that the rule narrows, restricts the authority of the district court.
That's correct. I would accede that. But I think, again, if you take a look at the case law, there's common sense factors that ought to be considered.
Are you aware of any case? None of the three cases that you've cited involve this particular issue, the rule, the 180-day rule. In fact, the only case that discusses it, I think it's the most recent one, the Asklin case, where it wasn't at issue because it was 177 days after forfeiture that the petition was filed. Are you aware of any case that involves, besides this one, that involves a district court applying the 180-day rule?
No.
Given the fact that the rule is sort of a bright line, but you have this exception in another rule that allows for a manifest injustice deviation from the general rules. If we were to rule in your favor in a precedential opinion, what would you say the rule of law would be? What would be the syllabus point of this court that would guide district courts in the future as to how to apply the 180-day rule?
Well, I would think that, that you'd want to have a policy that within a reasonable time, that if you pick up the defendant, that the policy would encourage bonding companies go out and do that, even if the 180 days is run.
But given the fact that we have this rule that is imposed on the district court, and you're essentially, I think, asking for the district court to have to allow for exceptions to the rule, what would be the rule of law that supports that conclusion in this case and others?
Well, the rule of law would be that if you could pick them up in a reasonable time and you met the Chesky factors, and particularly where you got a stipulation and the county attorney accedes to it, I mean, under these circumstances, this is what the county has encouraged us to do based upon looking at the stipulation. You'd be frustrating their intent. So I think the reasonable rule would be is that if you got the Chesky factors and nobody's objecting to it, that the court should be able to authorize the reinstatement and discharge of the bond and not have some arbitrary rule that precludes it under these facts.
So in essence, that would nullify Rule 702F?
Well, I think you could just go back to the statute that, you know, manifest injustice, justice demands or allows for this exception. So if it's a reasonable time, I mean, if it's 2-3 years, I can tell you that the Anoka County doesn't accept it. But in this circumstance, it was, you know, a few days over the 180 days. You got the bright line rule, but under these circumstances where everybody agrees, the county attorney doesn't object, they have a policy just recently, the court in Anoka County enforced this rule, and again, I can tell you, doing hundreds of these, that different judges make different decisions on similar facts.
Well, thank you. We have allowed you to go a bit over the time limit, but this is an important matter, and we appreciate your briefing and your argument in this case. And the matter is submitted, and we will issue our opinion within the statutory period.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you, sir. And that being the last case on our oral calendar for this morning, the court is in recess. Thank you.
All rise.